Okay, let's unpack this for you, the labor economist. The factors driving employee separations are fundamental to your field. We generally accept that high-quality firms, you know, those with higher value added or productivity, they tend to have lower overall turnover.
Really?
But what if the usual story about why that happens is missing something pretty big, especially for those of us really focused on separations?
Exactly. This deep dive, it's based on some really fascinating administrative data from Brazil, and it challenges a core assumption we've held for a long time. We're trying to go beyond the typical explanations to really get at the why behind job separations, specifically how firm quality shapes who stays and who goes.
Right. So our mission today, reveal how this new research sort of reframes how we should think about firm quality, wage rigidity, and what's really driving separations. So you're familiar with the baseline idea, higher quality firms, lower overall separation rates. Seems straightforward, but here's where it gets really interesting, particularly for a labor economist. What if it's not mainly about workers choosing to leave these better firms?
Well, this new paper, Separations Revisited, it finds that the negative link between firm quality and total separations is overwhelmingly driven by lower layoff rates, not by differences in quit rates.
Layoffs, really?
Yeah, overwhelmingly. Depending on exactly how you measure firm quality, layoffs explain something like 81% to 93% of that overall correlation. It's huge.
Wow. Okay. And you mentioned Brazilian data. I know administrative data can be powerful, but how solid is this distinction between a quit and a layoff here? Because that seems crucial.
It's actually incredibly robust in this context. Brazil's system has these opposing incentives. Firms face severance pay and fines for layoffs, but workers who are laid off get unemployment benefits and access to certain pension funds sooner. Those who quit don't.
Ah, okay. So both sides have a strong incentive to classify it correctly.
Precisely. And the empirical outcomes back this up. Laid off workers did much worse afterwards. Only about 25% found a new job within a year. Compare that to 51% for those who quit.
That's a stark difference.
It really is. And it holds even when you control for worker characteristics, you know, age, tenure, education, all that. It strongly suggests it's the firm quality driving this layoff difference, not just that different types of workers sort into different firms.
Okay, so if it is mostly about layoffs and high-quality firms have fewer of them, why? The researchers built a job search model, right? What did that show?
Yeah, the model highlights the interplay between two key things, wage rigidity and productivity uncertainty. Essentially, it predicts that these higher quality firms, they tend to have larger markdowns.
Markdowns. Explain that a bit.
Sure. It's basically the gap between how productive a worker is, their value to the firm, and what they're actually paid.
Okay, so a bigger gap. And how does that lead to fewer layoffs?
Well, that larger markdown acts like a buffer. It means the firm is capturing more value from the worker relative to their wage.
Ah, I see. So if there's a negative shock to that worker's productivity, the high-quality firm has more room to absorb it without the wage exceeding the productivity. They don't need to lay the person off as quickly.
Exactly. They can handle those negative bumps more easily. And the data supports this empirically. Firms in the top 5% for value added, they have an average markdown of about 68%.
Okay.
Compare that to just 32% for firms in the bottom 5%. And there's a clear negative relationship overall. A 10 percentage point increase in that markdown is linked to about a 1 percentage point decrease in layoffs.
That's compelling. But what about the wage rigidity part? How directly does that feed into this? Is it just there, or is it really driving the mechanism?
It seems to be really driving it. The data lets them distinguish between contractual wages and more variable pay components. And they find substantial rigidity, especially in contract wages. Only about 1.3% of contract wages get cut year to year.
Very sticky.
Very. Compared to over 9% of total wages, which includes variable parts. Now, firms with a higher share of these rigid contract wages, they use a measure called contract share. Those firms definitely have higher layoff rates. Think like 28% layoff rate if 100% of pay is contractual versus maybe 17% if it's 90%.
Makes sense. That's flexibility.
Right. And crucially, that connection between firm quality and lower layoffs, it's stronger in labor markets where wages are generally more rigid. So rigidity isn't just present, it seems central to why quality affects layoffs this way.
This really does shift the perspective, doesn't it? So for the labor economist listening, thinking about separations, what are the big takeaways here, the practical implications of this reframing?
I think the main thing is realizing that inefficient layoffs, which seem to be driven by this wage rigidity interacting with firm quality, are a really core part of the standard firm quality separation story we thought we knew. It means we need to be much more careful when we model labor markets, particularly if you're trying to estimate things like labor supply elasticities.
Yep.
You really have to separate quits from layoffs. Lumping them together as just separations hides these totally different underlying dynamics. You could be seriously misinterpreting how workers respond to wages if you don't make that distinction.
That's a critical point for empirical work. It really forces a refinement of our methods. And it leaves us with a pretty big question, doesn't it? If wage rigidity is so central to layoff patterns, especially at lower quality firms, what does that imply for policy? You know, thinking about labor market stability, especially comparing across countries or regions with different wage setting institutions.
Absolutely. That's the next frontier, really.
We definitely invite you to dig into this research yourself. It raises some fundamental points about how labor markets function.